Win £100,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. The jackpot must be won this week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth. You'll notice it's a different voice this time around because PK, Patrick Kennelly, has gone to the Ploughing Championships. I hope he was there yesterday and got absolutely pissed on because the weather was horrendous. But it has been nice apart from that. No, I don't really mean that. He's a lovely fella and hopefully he had a lovely time down there in his wellies. So I'm Paddy Power and I am hosting today, which means it won't be as professional as usual, but we'll get through it because we have an expert panel. I was about to say an expert panel of experts, but there you go. That's how professional I am. We have Ruby Walsh, who's been champion jockey 27 million times and was brilliant at riding horses. And we've Rory DeLargy, who probably wasn't great at riding horses, but is brilliant at tipping horses. So what could possibly go wrong? Good afternoon, gentlemen.
I got a Gymkhana medal once, you know.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
A rosette now, like one of those. Thanks a million for coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't win, but...
But you took part
in my one and only Gymkhana.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
You know when you give an excuse, Paddy, for not being at work?
Yeah.
Yeah, the excuses tend to need to be really good.
Yeah.
Because the Ploughing Championship ended on Thursday.
Did it? See, I didn't even know that.
It did. See, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So unfortunately for PK, I mean, that's a lame one.
Well,
that's
the only thing is that
I'm going to Cheltenham, but like I won't be in work Saturday. Well, Cheltenham ends Friday.
But he could be actually just hanging. And that being the case, that's okay. But it'd be better if he'd be honest about it, really. You know?
Honestly, I would have said would have been good. Sorry, lads, I can't come in because I would be dying from being in the Ploughing Championships on Thursday. Not that I'm at the Ploughing when it's over.
And in the betting game, if you don't have integrity, what have you got?
You tell me, Paddy. It's your game.
I know, I'll tell you. Anyway, listen, we're going to get on with this podcast. I know as an avid listener, because I am like literally number 7 on the subs list this stage. It's so depressing. I used to be on this podcast. I used to be the BBC. But anyway, before we get into the tipping, I want to remind you to enter Paddy's Pick 5 this week. And there's a prize of $100,000 up for grabs. And it is completely free to enter. You'll find the link in the show notes or on news.paddypower.com. All the T's and C's and all that kind of stuff are in the show notes too. So all you have to do is pick the winners of 5 races. All you have to do, just pick the winners of 5 races that we've selected. It'll only take you about 30 seconds to enter. And you may as well give it a go because it's free to enter as well. We get the selections for the lads later on the show. But first, we're going to look at the opening race on ITV this weekend, which is at Newmarket. And it's off at 1:50 and is the Royal Lodge Stakes, which is a Group 2 over 1 mile. And we have an odds on 5 for Charlie Appleby in Flying Honours. Ruby, let's kick off with you.
I won't be opposing him. Maybe Rory will, but I was really impressed with him on his last 2 starts. And I think he's better than the opposition. He's not for opposing for my money anyway.
Okay, so favourite wins the first for Ruby. Rory?
Yeah, it'd be great to kick off with a bit of controversy, but I'm afraid I can't. It doesn't look a particularly great Royal Lodge, aside from Flying Honours. It's been massively impressive in his last couple of starts. Ground will be right for him. He's going to improve again, I would have thought. And Greenland is a fair way down the pecking order at Ballydoyle, I think. So it'll be a surprise if Greenland's good enough to beat Flying Honours. And the other two have got a bit to find. I do like the Foxes as a project. I think he's a nice horse, but this is a big step up from him having won a maiden at Goodwood last time out. I thought he was a decent bet that day, but you know he's 5-1 for a maiden at Goodwood, and he's going to be a similar sort of price for a Group 2 here. So no real need for me to get stuck into him, but he might be the one for the forecast if you're playing.
I know it's not your tipple of choice really, Rory, but like as a kind of, I guess, would you call yourself a pro punter? Like certainly a pro tipster, whatever you are. Anyway, look, you're serious about punting and tipping, right? Is there ever, like if 4-9, would that ever excite you?
It works for some. You speak to, there are certain people out there. You look at Harry Findlay, for example. I know Harry sort of splits the audience, but Harry made his money backing horses at 8-15 that he thought should have been 1-5, or even backing horses at 1-5 he thought should have been 1-20. And you know there certainly was a market for that for a fair while because most punters don't want to buy really shorties, and you know, bookmakers were always laying each way bets aside from that. So you weren't always getting a true price about these favorites. Horses who looked absolute certainties were often going off at that 3s on or 2-7 when they, you know, when they're virtually unbeatable. So there was a market for punters to just steam into those. Never been my cup of tea, mainly because I can't make money backing horses at that sort of price. You know, history has shown me that when I think a horse looks, you know, this 2-1 on shot should be 10-1 on, those find a way of getting beaten when I back them. So I much prefer, you know, finding a 33-1 shot in a handicap. I think should be a 10-1 shot, and you know, they don't win very often, but they win often enough to keep my wife happy. So that works for me.
Yeah, you can't afford to be wrong too often, can't you, if you're backing the short ones? Right, on to the 225, the Cheveley Park Stakes, which is 6 furlong Group 1 for fillies. And this one, Meditate, is a favourite here, Rory. That suggests that the thing we learn most out of this race is just how good a horse that isn't running in this race actually is. After the Moigler, Tahira, the Dermot Weld flying filly, I guess you call her, she beat Meditate handy enough. But if she wasn't in the race, Meditate would have hosed up in the Moigler. So Meditate's 2-1. Trillium is 9-4 for Richard Hannon. It's not much between the two of them at the top. And Lazoo 6-1. Are we top of the market again, do you think?
I think so. Although I'm not enormously confident here, but Meditate will definitely be suited by dropping back to 6 furlongs, I think. She looked very good briefly at the Curragh when she kicked away, and she had the rest of them cooled at that stage, apart from Tahira. She has got plenty of speed, and dropping back to 6 furlongs here won't bother her. With the sons and daughters of No Nay Never, they all seem to be inheriting the speed more than the stamina from the dam side. So I think she'll be perfectly happy doing that. She'll also be happy back on quickish ground as well. It was heavy at the Curragh. That showed how classy she is to have run so well when I don't think conditions would have been ideal for her. So she'll take a bit of beating here. I do quite like Trillium, though, as a filly. She impressed me when she won the Malcolm at Goodwood. And then she got the job done at Doncaster against a very good filly who was runner-up in the Nunthorpe. That's the Platinum Queen. I've got no problem with her stepping up at 6 furlongs. She's another daughter of No Nay Never as well. She's looked like she'd be at least as capable at 6. She's won over 6 already. She was dropping back in Trippet. She won the Malcolm. And although she's got loads of speed for 5 furlongs, stretching out won't be a bother to her as well. I'm just a little bit surprised they've come this route. They were talking about maybe, you know, after Goodwood, they were talking about preparing her specifically for the Breeders' Cup, for the juvenile sprint there. Which is a race that probably suits her. So I'm a little surprised they come here so quickly after Doncaster. It's exactly the same gap as Meditate has, but Meditate has shown herself to be very tough so far and able to take those quick races. But it makes it difficult for me to get massively stuck in here because I like the front two in the market. And when you like the front two, you're probably not finding anything unusual. I just favour Meditate, but probably not enough to be getting heavily involved with the prices.
Okay. Ruby, I'm guessing you're all over Meditate.
Yeah, I think she's the most likely winner. I think Trillium is a good filly. Both ran on the 11th of September. Meditate has had 5 starts already as a 2-year-old. Trillium has had 4. Stepping up in trip for Trillium, I'm hoping it works for her. 1 defeat did come at 6 furlongs. And I just thought Swing Along could represent a little bit of value. I thought her form, where she beat Barefoot Eagle at Ripon, definitely got boosted at Ayr. When Barefoot Angel romped away and beat Queen Me, who Swing Along beat at York. But I just think Carol Brooks filly is a tough filly. She hasn't run since the 18th of August. I think she'll be a bit fresher than Trillium and Meditate. And I thought at around 9-1, she was an each way puck.
Okay.
6-1 even, sorry.
6-1, yeah. Each way for Ruby on Swing Along, and Rory just about going for Meditate over Trillium. Right, that was the fillies. On to the colts. Now we have the Judmont Middle Park, and there's another Group 1, 6 furlongs, but colts this time. Blackbeard is he's going for a hat trick, and he's already Group 1 winner, Ruby. So is that the best form on offer? Is that the one to be with?
It probably is. He won the pre-morning at Deauville. Look, we've watched him before races, stamping the ground and pawing the ground, and he's definitely a bit of a character. He's a tough colt. He's by No Nay Never as well, so the trip should be ideal for him. But I just have my question marks about him, to be honest with you. I prefer to see him behave himself properly rather than show his boisterous side. And I thought Mischievous Magic was interesting. I thought he won really well from the back at Kempton on his last start when he beat Believing in a canter. He came from a long way back, but Pat Dobbs rode him on that occasion and never looked in any doubt other than he was going to get there and win easily. I thought it was a really confident ride, and I just thought Mischievous Magic was appealing. Blackbeard, I just wonder, is there a temperament frailty there that might be exposed at some point?
And is that a worry usually, Rory, or do you know the way they say it? It's like there's a fine line between, you know, madness and brilliance or whatever, especially when it comes to those the entire horses, that sometimes there's something about them, you know, they're brilliant, but then they'll kill you if they get the chance, type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one because you've got to look at how they're behaving on a spectrum, if you like. Look at how that temperament develops through the season. If it's something you see early on, and they show the same traits through the season, but the form keeps getting better, then you'd be worried then when they turn up at the races and they're docile and they go in like a lamb. You think, oh, something might be wrong here. Sometimes when you see a horse displaying a lot of temperament, but then in the race itself looking as game as a pebble, it's not a massive worry. The worry with Blackbeard is that one day he might not go in the stalls at all. I think once he goes in the stalls, he's absolutely fine. When he comes out, he's almost always on his best behavior. It's the trouble he causes before the start that worries you. And the question is, with him, is it getting worse? It maybe is. You know, he was very difficult at Deauville, I thought. But the question is whether he's just such a character that he needs to sort of express that before a race, and then, you know, he does nothing wrong in it. I wouldn't be opposing him absolutely on those grounds. But at the same time, you know, you can't approach him with absolute confidence as well. And you want to see him locked up in the stalls before pressing the button, really. But again, you can't really knock his form. You know, fourth at Royal Ascot in the Coventry is hardly a blip on his card. Otherwise, he's been very, very good. And he was at least as good as ever when he won the Morney last time out. The Morney's a very, very strong contest. So he looks the one to beat on that basis. Although I've been impressed with Marshman. He absolutely bolted up in a novice at Thirsk on his second start, carrying a penalty. I thought that was a massive performance, and I wondered whether he'd be able to do it against better horses, but he did. I know he was beaten in the Jim Crack, but I thought the Jim Crack winner is a very good horse, Noble Style. I think he's probably a better long-term prospect than Blackbeard is. And for Marshman to run him as close as he did at York, I thought it was a very good performance. Cole Casey was third, has gone on and won since. And that looks a very competitive race on paper, but the first two came a long way clear, and I think that's very good form. The Jim Crack is up and down for me as a race. Sometimes you can get fairly weak renewals off it, but that looked a very strong renewal of the Jim Crack. It was only Marshman's second start, so I think there's more chance of him improving as well. And although Blackbeard arguably sets the standard on his Group 1 win in the Morning last time out, Marshman is improving rapidly behind him, and I'd rather be with him, even at a fairly similar price.
Okay, so Marshman for Rory and Mischief Magic for Ruby. Right, get your pins out. Well, maybe not get your pins out. It's the Cambridgeshire. You got the favourite here, the haggis horse, Mujtaba, fairly hosed up at, at Donny, at Doncaster. It's 4-1 clear favourite now, from Protagonist 7-1 and Dual Identities 8-1. So, I mean, looks like he possibly is. I'm not saying a handicap lot. There's a few in here, I'd imagine, but wide open race. Does 4-1 get your juices going, Rory?
Very much not. No, and he might be a bit of a blot on the handicap. But Cambridge is a race I like. I managed to hit the jackpot with Majestic Dawn a couple of years ago. In this, so it's a race I always look forward to. He's in again, but I think obviously, you know, the handicapper has very much had his say with Majestic Dawn. He should run well again. The race suits him. He had excuses for a bad run last time out, so I'd expect Majestic Dawn to make quite a bold bid from the front with Mohammed Tabti taking 7 off his back. But I think he's more place material this time around. The two who appeal to me at quite big prices are Lucander and Arcoub. Lucander wears blinkers for the first time, which is a very very much a positive with Rafe Beckett. This season, I'll take out the stats because I've written a horse up today that runs in blinkers for the first time for Rafe Beckett. He has sent out four winners from 15 runners this season wearing blinkers for the first time. That's not that many. Actually, four from 16. He sent a filly out in the last race at Newmarket yesterday. who ran well without winning. But he's winners at 5-1, 7-1, 15-2, and 17-2, including one a week or two ago. So it's always very interesting to see when Rafe Becker puts blinkers on. I'm not a massive fan of trainers just reaching for the blinkers because they're looking for something that might improve the horse. But there are a minority of trainers whose horses will improve for the fitting of headgear. Rafe Becket is very much one of
those.
That's
weird, isn't it? That it's the trainer's horse rather than, I don't know, a type of horse or whatever, is it? I mean,
Maybe
he just has a knack of knowing which horse.
I think a lot of owners, when their horses aren't doing very well, go, well, you know, what are we going to do to make this horse run faster? And the trainer will humour the owner by saying, well, let's try him in a set of blinkers and see if that helps him. And so you end up going to blinkers as a last resort rather than identifying a horse who will benefit from blinkers. And again, we've got this attitude to blinkers that's what they are. They are a last resort, or they are a sign of an ungenuine horse. Whereas, you know, in the States, they'll Secretariat wore blinkers. You know, they will put top class horses in blinkers if they think the blinkers work for the horse. And they will do it very early on. They'll put horse in blinkers on debut, for example. So there's no hang-ups about whether your horse is genuine enough there, whereas we do have that a little bit. Anyway, the point is, Rafe Becket doesn't have that attitude, and his horses do tend to thrive when wearing the headgear. Lucander's been running pretty well this season. He was winner off Markham 96 at Windsor back in May. He's only £2 higher. He was disappointing over a longer trip on his next start at Windsor. He's been running in smallish fields, but he does go quite well in big field handicaps. And I think this scenario will suit him. He should race Handley. Despite the big field, you always get the impression that you want a horse coming from off the back in the Cambridgeshire, but you keep watching this race and track position is important. And you know, it's important to be near where the pace is, and it's important to be on the right side of the track. And I would prefer here to be drawn mid to high, looking at the shape of the race. And he's drawn a stall 27. He's got a front runner in Majestic next to him, and he's got a fair bit of pace on his right to choose. So I think he'll run a decent race. And the other one that I'd consider at the prices is Arcoob, who gets a good £7 claimer, Conor Planus, who's only started riding this season, but he's made quite a name for himself quite quickly. He's got quite a good reputation. He's ridden 17 winners this season already. And William Jarvis, who's an underrated trainer, he's been training since the 70s. William Jarvis, because he had Group 1 winners last season, having waited ages since Grand Lodge was flying the flag for him a long time ago. So he doesn't have that many horses these days, but his record speaks for itself. Arcoob was an impressive winner at Sandown earlier in the season off a mark of 89. Again, he's only £4 higher, so he's still competitive. His only disappointment came on the back of that when I fancied him at Goodwood. He ended up being drawn out of it and ruining his chance with a slow start there, which you can't do at Goodwood. Since then, he's run very well at both Sandown and Yarmouth, given the impression the handicapper maybe just caught up with him with a £4 rise. But with Conor Planus taking £7 off his back and what looks a good drawn stall 29, I think he'll be very competitive. The one thing he doesn't want to do is miss the kick as he did at Goodwood, but he's been pretty good apart from that. He won't be as handy as Lucander, which might be a little bit of a negative here, but he's a big price, Arcoob, and he's definitely got the ability to win off his mark.
Okay, lovely. So and there'll be loads of extra places knocking around as well, but Lucander's 22-1, Arcoob is 25-1, and Majestic Dawn, who you gave a nice little place mention to, is 30-1, so big prices there. Ruby Walsh, over to you.
Yeah, look, if you go back to the last five runnings of the Cambridgeshire, which I'm sure Rory has done, stall 15 was second in 2019 and stall 13 was third in 2017. Last year, stall 19 was 21. Other than that, they've all been drawn in the 20s and upwards when there was bigger field in 2019. There was 30 runners and stall 32 finished third. But it definitely, the history of the race does seem to be suiting the horses, as Rory has said, middle to high are definitely high, and I can see why he's gone for Lucander and Arcoob. I thought there was a few more interesting ones on this side of the track as well. I thought Jimi Hendrix can be excused for his run in Goodwood on his last start, where he was drawn widest of all and never got in and got a few bumps and ran his race from the stalls to the top of the hill in Goodwood. He's in 28. I'd definitely be giving him a chance coming from a little bit further back. as well. And I thought of the three-year-olds, I have no idea what way Neil Callan is going to ride Austrian Theory, but he's in 21 and with plenty of pace on this side of the track. If Neil Callan can get a bit of cover on Austrian Theory, I thought at a huge price he could run a good race. But I would definitely be favouring the horses in the high stalls from 20 upwards. Austrian Theory being the lowest one I would be going for.
Okay, lovely. That's a 50 to one shot, Ruby. So that's a neck on the line there. Fair play to you.
Well, it's just each way. I'm sure you'd be paying many places. Millions of places. Yeah, yeah. Happen.
We actually won't be playing down to a millionth place. That's just a phrase or figure of speech, whatever.
There was a strong case we made for plenty of horses over this side. And 2 3-year-olds have won it in recent times in both 2019 and 2018. So 3-year-olds have a chance in the race.
Okay, lovely. Lovely hurling. Okay, we've got a few there. I'll just run through them, actually. Just the Majestic Dawn, Lucander, Arcoob for Rory, Jimi Hendrix and Austrian Theory, but Austrian Theory mainly at 50 to 1 for Ruby.
Just a pop. I think 28, like Rory's gone for 27 and 29, and I went for all 28.
There you go. So, like, there's maybe a combination that's forecast. Like tri-cast, isn't it? Yeah, it does. You see, the tri-cast is pretty greedy. I mean, if you've got a forecast, a combination forecast of the 50s and 25s, that'll be all right. Like, but anyway. You could do both, I guess. Right, so that is Newmarket done and dusted for Saturday. Then we're over to Haydock, a nice wide open handicap, the 205 race at Haydock. We've got, Boardman's in here. Do you remember him, Ruby? We used to tip him every single time he ran. This is a pretty open race, though. This the mile handicap there at Haydock. I will stick with you, Ruby.
Haydock, mile handicap. I have it written down, Paddy, as I turn my page back. I was going for probably a fairly obvious one considering the weekend they had last weekend, and that was for Aku Najla, David Egan and Roger Varian. Last run was in May behind My Prospero when he was well beaten, but prior to that he had beaten Knight of Honor at Yarmouth in April. And I thought he could be unexposed, the three-year-old, the Roger Varians and David Egan after the weekend they had last weekend.
Okay, Aku Najla. Rory?
Yeah, I fancy, Aku Najla's got obvious claims on paper. I prefer, certainly at the top of the market, prefer him to Montasabe. Montasabe has run very well since his winning run's been ended, but what he's shown in his last three starts is the handicapper has pretty much got him where he wants him. So I think he's got strong place claims, but I'd be surprised if he wins. And Aku Najla probably deserves to be at the head of the market. But I like one at a bigger price here. Young Fire is probably only one or two bigger than him in the betting. He is a horse who wants soft ground, Young Fire. And he's trained by David O'Mara. He's been running largely in conditions that don't suit him this season. He's either been racing the firm ground or the all-weather this year. And as a result, he's dropped from an opening mark. He started the season rated 90, 99, I think. He's down to 94. It's not a massive drop, all things considered, but it makes him competitive on last season's form. You go back to his the last time he raced on soft ground was at Doncaster. The final day of the turf season proper at Doncaster, and he was runner-up off a mark of 99 on soft ground. Prior to that, he'd been just turned over on heavy at Leicester, and he was also placed in the Sugar Cup mile off a mark of 100. There's not much encouragement this season, but then again, he's not had his conditions once this season, so I'm more than happy to back Young Fire here, who's a course and distance winner in the past as well. Danny Tudhope is a good jockey booking for the yard, and I think he'll bounce back to form. So he's 18 to 1 with Paddy, a little bit bigger in one or two places, but I think he should be about half that price. So he makes plenty of appeal to me.
Okay, so Young Fire for Rory and Aku Najla for Ruby there. Wannies is a horse. I got a good tip. It was a terrible tip in the end at Ascot. And he was quite well back that day, but disappointed at Goodwood since. But Wannies is one of the ones I'll be keeping the faith with that one. So ignore that, please, because I'm obviously not half as good at tipping horses as the two lads, or I would be the other side of this microphone. Right, the 240 at Haydock is next. This is a 5-furlong sprint. Rory, I'm going to stick with you because this, like we keep saying, this is your bread and butter. I mean, it's like that literally the hardest race you could choose to pick a horse in, but give it a shot.
Yeah, this was not as attractive to me as the previous race. I end up going with one for similar reasons. Again, from the Omara yard, I thought Nomadic Empire had good chances here. Again, he's a horse who handles this ground. There's plenty of rain at Haydock yesterday, so I'm hoping the going is good to softer, which looks likely for tomorrow. Nomadic Empire again has been running on quick turf this season. He ran on very firm ground when finishing last at Ascot in July, but he did come back to a bit of form in that the opening race of the Ebor meeting when he was fourth over 5.5 furlongs, and he backed that up with a good fourth, beating a length and a half in the Portland last time out. So he's definitely competitive of his mark. He was rated 95 when placed in that good handicap at York. It was dropped to 93 for Doncaster. That's one of the most competitive handicaps of the season. And he ran a cracker there. So running off the same mark again with the ground, again, suitable for him. And a bit of speed around him as well. He's got Ventura Flame, Isle of Lismore and Count Dorsey drawn in the three stalls between him and the far rail. And they'll all want to go forward. There's plenty of early pace here, but I think it's beneficial to him that he's got a lot of speed right in front of him, and he can just tuck in and chase that speed and hopefully pounce late, drop it back half a furlong and trip here. But I think he's pretty solid, and he's not a bad price unless I've misread him. What price are you seeing there, Paddy?
I actually don't have the up to date price, I think he's going to he's second string of the Omari yard. Alligator Alley be first string. He's going to be tenner.
Alligator Alley's got Danny Tunhope on board, and he's second favourite. But I think Nomadic Empire's got a very similar chance on paper, and he might end up being on the right side of the track. I think the low numbers might do best here, and Nomadic Empire 10-1 makes a lot of each way appeal.
Okay, brilliant, Ruby.
I had gone for the same horse. For the same reasons that I couldn't
Countdown
understand.
Style shows your notebook there, Ruby.
I couldn't understand.
Fine, I believe you. Don't worry, you don't actually have to do that.
I just couldn't understand how he'd been dropped for his run at York behind Bergerac. That's what made it appealing to me. He come down 2 pounds for a solid effort, and he's had two solid runs since. So I just thought he had a chance at a time of the year when most of these horses seem to be reaching their limit.
Jim Nettles, is that Bergerac? Jim Nettles, somebody Nettles?
John Nettles.
John Nettles. Okay, close enough. I remember Bergerac. A lot of crime in those Channel Islands. Anyway, right, we are finished with the UK on Saturday, so we're going to go to the Curragh, and we've got three races to have a look at there. There's the first one is at 135, and that's the Beresford Stakes. Ruby, I'm going to go to you. Adelaide River is the favourite here at 7-4. Was beaten in a Group 3 the last time. This is a Group 2. That seems like maybe a little bit tight at 7-4, or the one to beat?
Yeah, that was in Longchamp on soft ground, and he obviously had a pivotal tiger behind him. It probably depends on what way you see the form, really. Pivotal tiger, of course, beat Tiverton at Galway in a maiden. Tiverton won at Listowel on Tuesday. I didn't think it was all that impressive, so I'm not sure. Adelaide River pivotal tiger, how strong the form really is. And I was willing to give, at the prices, give Crypto Force another go. He obviously beat August Rodin in a maiden at the Curragh, then went to Ascot and good to firm ground and finished seventh in the Chesham, I think it was. Yeah, the Chesham Stakes. He's freshened up since. Colin Keane rides him. Michael O'Callaghan's horses are in good form. Just at the price, I was willing to give Crypto Force a chance.
Okay, Crypto Force, a decent price. Yeah, it's a 12-1 shot for an each way. But and you're right, because there was a lot of talk about what have we got? 2, 4, 6, 7 runners. Of course, he's only 7 runners. A lot of talk about that horse at Ascot as well, and was kind of disappointed to be 7th. Rory, any strong opinions here?
Yeah, much the same as Ruby. I thought Crypto Force is quite interesting. It's not difficult making excuses for his run in the Chesham, and obviously his debut form has worked out well. So I thought he was overpriced a little bit at 12-1 for the each way money, but I do like Adelaide River. I think he's I think 7-4 is a decent price about him. I take Ruby's point that it's not that easy to weigh up the French form. Kubrick appears to be held in high regard by Jean-Claude Rouget, was a winner of a conditions race on a second start before going to that Prix de Chenet. But yeah, it's not the easiest form to get a handle on. But I liked Adelaide River on debut at Dundalk when, you know, he looked very much in need of the run for education, even though he ran out quite an impressive winner in the end. He was very relaxed pre-race and in the race itself, and just lobbed along through that contest. And only really looked impressive in the last half hour when he stretched his leg a little bit. Didn't seem to quicken, he seemed to stretch and lengthen his stride. I couldn't find a video of the Longchamp race, unfortunately, so I couldn't get an idea of him there. But to me, he looks like a horse who will be suited by a proper test of stamina around this trip, but I'd like to see him ridden prominently. I think he was done for a turn of foot reading the race at Longchamp. Kubrick seems to have, he came from off the pace and sprinted past them in the end. But Adelaide River's only been beaten a neck. As I said, I think the impression he's given me in a couple of runs is he'll say a mile and a half next season without any trouble at all. And as long as he makes this a test of stamina, then I think he'll take plenty of beating. I think he's a really nice prospect. We'll see the best of them next year, but this is the right kind of race, the Beresford, for a Derby horse to show what he can do.
Okay, lovely. So Adelaide River with Crypto Force, not putting you off Crypto Force either there. The next race we're looking at is a 320. That's the Goff's Million, a two-year-old, kind of a jackpot race, isn't it, for two-year-olds. At this stage of the season as well, it's good. It's intriguing here. You've got a mixture of horses of plenty of form there. They're an open book, and you've got lots of unexposed ones as well. Like He's a Monster is only one run, and Oviedo is only two runs as well. So It's a 3-1 the field race. Helsing for Ger Lyons is the favourite. There's a few UK raiders. That's a good few, I suppose. I was going to say not as many as you'd like, but there's a good few there. Rory, I'll stick with you. It must be easier at this stage of the season to get your head around the two-year-olds.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I still prefer the older horses. But when you get to this stage of the season, you should have a fair idea of what you think the two-year-olds need and who's towards the top of the pile. And I thought, I looked at a few in this because, you know, you can get a result in these sort of races. But the more I looked at it, the more I came around to thinking that Helsing looks a cut above them. He won the Churchill Stakes at Tipperary last time out and would have won easier but for meeting trouble late in the day. That looks a decent piece of form. It looked at a very strong listed race. You've got the likes of Lakota 7, Greenland coming out of that. Purling Path had run very well at Royal Ascot. Greenland obviously goes to the Royal Lodge. So Helsing won that very nicely, travelled, was just taken back in the early stages by Colin Keane, but travelled very strongly and then has come through to win more easily than a half a length verdict would indicate. He could turn sideways at one point when he was coming through to win handily. His only defeat came at Leopardstown in the Tyrrell Stakes, but that looks very good for him now, given how well Proud and Regal ran last time out. And Voce del Palio, who was fourth there, came out and won next time as well. That form looks very, very solid. So he's dropping back in class. He's dropping back half a furlong and trip, but I don't think that will bother him. A lot of the horses I was looking at in this race as good prospects look like they will want a mile as well. So I think the drop back to Bear 7 will suit Helsing as well as, yeah, you know, at least as well as most of these. There are one or two. Hiya Woth is a really nice prospect and probably well drawn in stall 19, but he definitely wants a trip. So dropping back to 7 furlongs for him is a big negative for me. Oviedo will stay a mile as well. I like him. I do like Oviedo. He was third in the Acom last time out, which is good form at York. I just thought from stall 2, he might find himself a little bit isolated. And he lacks the experience of one or two of these. So I thought this wasn't the easiest place for Oviedo. But in terms of who's going to turn out the best horse in the race, I think he'd be high on my shortlist. I think he's got a decent prize in him next season, Oviedo. And he's a player here. But I thought stall 2... with his lack of experience and his run style might just be a bit of a killer for me in terms of backing him. And I thought Helsing would be a bit shorter than 3-1, to be honest. I thought he looked more of a sort of 7-4 favourite in this, and I thought 3-1 was generous.
Okay, lovely. Ruby, Helsing.
Yeah, he's the one to beat. Soft ground being your only concern. Maybe he'll fly through it, but he's definitely the one to beat. But I went looking for a bit of value, Paddy. I went looking for horses with some bit of form on slow ground. And I came down on an English one in Ramazan. who ran in the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot after winning at Beverley, where he was no match for Little Big Bear, finished mid-division. Richard Fahey quickly dropped him into a nursery where he bolted in on soft ground at Haydock, then went back to York where he couldn't beat Streets for Gold over six, but ran better at Ayr behind Prairie Falcon.
Sorry about that, Ruby. You could, I have to take a chicken out of the oven. So you keep talking about Ramazan for a minute. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go for a break then. We have to take a break as well. And I'll go take my chicken. We'll actually have to take the tin foil off the chicken and leave it roast for another 20 minutes. You see, the backstory here is my wife's away. So I'm juggling four children. I'm not actually juggling four children, but I'm trying to single parent for this weekend.
Juggling the lives of four children.
Well, basically, yeah. I'm struggling big time, but it's Friday. We're nearly there. It's nearly at the weekend. So I'll be back in a sec. You keep talking about Ramazan and we'll go for the break then.
Anyway, Rory, as soon as Paddy's gone, he's not that interested anyway. I was thinking Ramazan had some sort of a chance because it'll go on softish ground, probably could come home well, and at 20-ish to one, I just thought it was worth an each way poke, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, yards coming good at this time of the year as well, so you might have a fair point there.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Can you imagine Paddy serving you chicken?
I'd be slightly wary of it. You'd want to look at the colour of it first, wouldn't you?
I would definitely think so.
It's either pink or it's black.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, yeah.
It just won't be white.
At least he's got the tinfoil on, though. That's
it's a start, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Can't find the immersion. It's cooking the chicken. If the kids are in school, like, are you going serving them cold chicken or what?
Well, I'm just getting it ready. So then I'll be able to do them like chicken wraps or whatever when they get home from school. And then, because we'll be doing takeaway, obviously, tonight because it's Friday night. But it's not looking very cooked, to be honest. I'm not sure if I'm at the right temperature. But sure, look, I threw out the packet earlier, so I don't know what to do.
You haven't just turned the light on.
What?
I went to Christmas dinner once with a friend of mine, a flatmate of mine. He went home to his parents for Christmas. And at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we discovered that his dad he got up early to put the turkey on. And it turns out he turned the light on in the oven, but he hadn't actually turned the oven on.
Lovely. So
the tremendous argument in the kitchen between Tony and Mary, which I have to say made my Christmas.
I can imagine, because if you're starting the turkey then, it's like you got 5 or 6 hours of drinking to do before it's ready. anyway, sorry, what did I miss? You didn't change your mind, Ramazan. Did we do our break yet?
We did the break when you were away, so we have Ramazan each way, and then we discussed the likelihood of you poisoning all of the power children and ending up in hospital tonight. Probably there's the shortest price favourite of the weekend. But
there's a small chance. And actually, do you know what? Tonight, on Friday night, it's a very exciting night in our house because Killian, my 11-year-old, is playing at half-time in the Leinster match in the RDS, the other minis, the mini rugby come on. So he's very nervous about that. So I better not food poison him before that. But anyway, right, we're back. And we've one more race to occur on Saturday to look at. That's the Joe McGrath handicap, the 5 furlong handicap. It's wide open. There's 16 runners. I can't remember whose turn it is. We'll stick with you, Ruby.
I was going to go for Laugh a Minute. Thought it ran an absolute blinder here behind Dexter Bell on Champions Weekend over six. I know it's dropping a little bit in trip, but it does handle the ground. It's only got up 3 pounds. Drawn and stalled 3, which is the far side. Which could be the wrong side, actually. But anyway, I just think Laugh a Minute will handle the ground and Ado's horses are in good enough form.
Okay, lovely, Rory.
Taking a chance on one who's run badly in his last two starts, but the soft ground will suit Pretty Boy Floyd with Dylan Brown McMonagle riding for Sarah Dawson. He's got plenty of form in soft and heavy. He ran very well here at the start of the season. A mark of 88. He was beaten 2 lengths into a fourth in a massive field. And he then ran perfectly respectably on his next start at Tipperary. He's disappointed twice since, but he's worn blinkers for both of those starts. And his good form came with a visor. So he ran well in a visor first time out, ran okay with a visor next time. Two runs and blinkers since that have been poor, but they've also been a slightly quicker ground as well. So I'm hoping either the soft ground or the return of the visor, or a combination of both, sees Pretty Boy Floyd back to form, and he should be fairly well drawn and stall 13.
Okay, so Pretty Boy Floyd for Rory and Laugh a Minute for Ruby. Okay, that is Saturday done and dusted. So before we get your naps, we're going to get your pick five selections so you can get yourselves together, gentlemen. I'll read out the bump. So this to remind the Paddy's pick five, it's a prize of 100 grand up for grabs and it's free to enter. The link is in the show notes or else on news.paddypower.com and all the T's and C's are in the show notes too. And all you have to do is pick the winners of five races that we've selected. I'll tell you what they are in a sec. It'll only take about 30 seconds to enter and it's free, so you may as well give it a go. Okay, so I'm going to start with Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to start with Ruby. Okay, 3 o'clock at Newmark. That's the middle park, Ruby.
3 o'clock at Newmark, it was the middle park, so I'm going back over, I'd say.
Mischief Magic.
Yeah. That's the one I went.
You haven't changed your mind. Mischief Magic, yeah. Grant. The 320 at the Curragh, which was the Goff's Million, Rory.
Yeah, no, not changing my mind here either. I think Helsing is the one you want to stick in your pick five.
Okay, lovely. Ruby, the Cambridger for you. That's a 340 Newmarket. Oh, yeah, you picked about four in this race, didn't you?
I did, yeah, and I picked out both that Rory was with as well. Jimi Hendrix in 28.
Jimi Hendrix, right. Okay, lovely. That was the shortest price. One of yours is about 12 or 14 to 1, though. And now a maiden at Haydock for some bizarre reason, Rory. 350 at Haydock.
Yeah, it's a very odd race to throw in there. And there's one horse with standout form in the race as well. So it's difficult to get away from Onslow Gardens. Who should take plenty of beating. There's a couple of interesting newcomers in there, but Onslow Gardens has been a very good second in his two starts and should take all the beating.
Onslow Gardens. And the 450 at Newmarket to finish us off, Ruby.
I didn't even look at a Paddy, so you may ask Rory.
Okay, Rory, give us one for the 450 at Newmarket.
I shall. Hold on 1 second and I'll dig it out and see what it was that appealed to me in there. None of them did, was the answer.
It is a nursery, isn't it? You just go for number one, don't you?
Yeah, it's the Jersey Lily Phillies nursery. You can't beat them, can you? Go with the top weight in the handicap, they say. Rose Prick.
Rose Prick.
Weight, but she is up there, and she's got solid nursery form already. So,
okay, so Rose Prick. Lovely. What a great name. So Mr. Magic, Helsing, Jimi Hendrix, Onslow Gardens, and Rose Prick. I love saying that word, that name. Getting away with saying a rude word on the radio. It's great. Okay, now, more importantly, back to that was the pick five, and everybody have a go, and it's free, and it's 100 grand, all that kind of stuff, right? Now, back to the tipping. Your naps for Saturday, please. Ruby.
Cham Kylie in the stall. Had about 1-7. but for a nap, I am going to go with Aku Najla.
Aku Najla, and that is in the 205 at Haydock. Yeah, okay. And Rory?
I won't go for my selection in that race to cause controversy. I'll go with the Cambridgeshire, and my main pick in that would be Lucander to go one place better than he did 2 years ago.
Lucander at a huge price in the Cambridge. There's two decent price naps, gentlemen. Fair play to you. Okay, we do have three races to look at on Sunday at the Curragh before we go. So, Rory, I'm not sure if you've had a look at these, have you?
It specifically said, do this with Ruby.
Okay, so that's fine. That's pretty. It was just in case. I didn't want you to feel left out if you've done all the hard work.
I haven't done the hard work.
That's okay.
I'm more than happy for Ruby to take over now.
Well, you can sit back and relax and enjoy the dulcet tones, unplugged, of Ruby Lynch. 305 Ruby, that's the Renaissance Stakes. This is a 6 furlong sprint. You know loads of these horses, don't we? Arc Power is in there. There's a few of them that you recognise. What you reckon?
Yeah, the usuals. Obviously, some of them have been running handicaps. Dexter Bell was a good winner on Champions Weekend when she beat No More Porter. King of Bravaria has failed to land a blow this year. Well, win a race this year. They've been a couple at the back end of last year on soft ground at Nace with a beat past time on the Shamey Heffernan. I do believe that was the Birdcatcher Nursery. They thought it was well handicapped and it won that day. Hasn't been as effective this year on quicker ground, but definitely stepped forward at Navan on his last start and finished third. Art Power is your favourite. Not sure Art Power is as good on slowish ground, and I will be willing to give King of Bavaria a chance with a dig in the ground.
King of Bavaria. Okay, lovely. Lovely jubbly. Next race we're looking at is the 3 of the Weld Park Stakes, which is at 340 and This is another two-year-old
race. Ryan rides Dower House, who was second to Tahira at Galway, but was no match for Tahira. Then beat Spirit Girl at Nace. That's their likely favourite. Maybe, just maybe, is another Ballydoyle runner. I think probably has a chance too. Dermot Weld has Keep In Touch, who won at Galway and beat Luminaire Rock. Look, we have a load of two-year-old races this weekend. Which ones are you going for? I'm probably going to go for Caroline Street of Joseph O'Brien's here. Was second to Gus Rodine at Leperstown on Champions Weekend. And I think Caroline Street could be the one.
Yeah, Joseph just seems to really be hitting form, doesn't he? Like, even over jumps as well. Just this, everyone's kind of falling for him at the moment. So I think he's going to have a few winners this weekend as well. And then it's definitely worth to mention, like $600,000 for the Irish Czar, which is about 1,000 entries. So it's a fair play to the friends, the courage, Joe Keeling and the lads for getting it together. I mean, it is a cracking race and it's got the entry that it deserves, doesn't it? I presume Willie's got loads of entries here as well.
Yeah, Willie has a good few in. Rachel Blackmore rides Echoes and Rain. She's drawn and stalled three, which will be a good draw. Unusual for two-mile race, even, Paddy. Not a two-year-old race, but a two-mile race at the Curragh, that they're starting from stalls. They've had to alter the alignment of the track, but at 600,000, they felt they needed stalls. So this race will be started from stalls, which is...
That's probably good. That's fair, like, isn't it?
It definitely is, yeah. Danny Tudhope rides Lot of Joy for Willie. Lot of Joy ran really well on her first start for Willie at Galway. That was a solid run from her. Shane Cross rides Cleveland, who of course won the Chester Cup, and he beat Coltrane. And he's gone up. Like, you've seen where Coltrane is now. That was some Chester Cup. I mean, he won the Doncaster Cup last week. You have Zach Yaxini. Jesse Evans is only a reserved. Went through two of Willie's. Tax from Max is in there for Willie as well. He needs to put his best foot forward. May's runner is always solid, but they're drawn out in the car park. Lot of Joy and May's runner. Obviously, the filly has a really good draw, Echoes and Rain. She's installed three. Your favourite is Waterville. Wayne Lorden rides for Aidan. Drawn and stall 18, Waterville. Was second to Pine King on his last start in July. Looks like he's been put aside for this, so he could be a blot at night.
So how do you see it draw wide? Do you think that, like, if you're drawn high, you're literally, if you don't bomb out at the start, you're 20 lengths behind?
I suppose two ways of looking at it. It will be a straight run to the first bend, but if you're wide 16 upwards or 20 upwards, when you're going to have to take a right-hand turn, you either have to burn forward or drop all the way back. So I think the wide draw could just be a bit of a drawback. HMS Seahorse in 26. You know, probably if you're right down the inside, install three, Echoes and Rain is going to have to commit to some sort of a decent position, but that should see her no worse than fifth, sixth, something like down the inside, and in a nice pocket. So I think she's definitely the one of Willie's. She's in good form. I would be probably happier with Lot of Joy had she got a better draw, but she is where she is. Ryan Moore rides Wordsworth. He's installed 29 with 9.13 on his back. I can see why Waterville is favourite. He does look like a bit of a blot, but I still think there's more to come from Willie's filly. So
Echoes and Rain. It's going to be a champion hurdle winner, wasn't it, at one stage?
Didn't quite live up to that, but
not quite, not yet.
Her runs on the flat have been solid enough. And she was three lengths behind Honeysuckle at the Punchestown Festival. She won at Galway when she beat Maze Runner. I think she's got a good draw. She's up £10, but I think draw could be key.
Lovely hurling. That's great. Okay, so Echoes and Rain there in the Irish Czar, which $600,000 race, definitely worth keeping an eye on Sunday. So that is it. That is our lot. So thank you very much to Ruby Walsh. Thank you very much to Rory DeLargy. And thank you very much to Mark Walsh and to Alan for Bennett for producing and doing all the stuff that they do that I don't even know what they do, but they do loads of important stuff, I'm sure. Come back next week and you will have Fran on Friday and, of course, our weekend tips for next weekend. I can't remember who's in the podcast, but I guarantee you after today, it won't be me anyway, after disappearing to get me chicken out of the oven and all that. So listen, hopefully it won't poison me children, and we'll talk to you next week. Best of luck, lads. Thanks, Liv.